I'm just going to ask you all this morning, can I be real with you all? Can I share my heart with you all this morning? Can I share some of the struggles that I deal with? Because I firmly believe that God wouldn't have laid this on my heart knowing this was only for me. I believe there's many of us that are struggling with what I'm struggling with in a certain area of my life. And I'm seeking God's will. I'm seeking God's guidance because I only want to be in His will. I only want to be where He needs me to be. I only want to be where He leads me to be. I don't want to be going down a particular road that God's not walking by my side. That God's not grabbing my hand and saying, come, come, this is the way I want to take you. Why is it that so many of us, when God takes our hand and He says, this is where we're going, why is it so many of us want to resist? And we want to say, no, God, I can't go down that road. I can't go down that road because I'm not worthy to go down that road. I don't have the tools to go down that road. I don't have the personality to go down that road. I don't have what it takes to go down that road, God. And God looks at you and says, be still and know that I am God. Why is it we can't take those words, be still and know that I am God, and let God be God of who He is? We serve a God that destroyed demons. We serve a God that can destroy cancer. We serve a God that can restore people from the lowliness part of their lives to the highest part of the mountain. And that's where God wants each of us to be today. He wants us to be on top of the mountain. He doesn't want you to be down in the valley. But unfortunately, being a child of God and being sinners, we're going to be down in the valley. But so many of us desire to stay down there in the lowliest parts of the valley. As I was driving into church this morning, I was pleading with God over some things. And as I was pleading with God over some things, one word kept coming to my mind. Commitment. Commitment. Commitment is a word today that people don't understand. People do not understand what commitment means today. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, you could shake somebody's hand, and that was a commitment to your word, and it was a commitment that something was going to happen. Today, not only do you shake hands, but you write a contract. And even in light of writing that contract, people still don't follow through with the results of that contract. People want a $60,000 vehicle, and they think that they can go to the car dealership and they can sign a contract with the bank to get that $60,000 vehicle. But they don't think about the word commitment. They think about the fact of, hey, if I lose my job, they'll just repossess the vehicle. Folks, that's not what God desires. That's not the attitude that God desires for us to have in our hearts. I'm talking about a vehicle, but look at your life this morning. Look at your life. Are you looking at God this morning and saying, God, I'm tired of this. God, I'm giving up. Giving up is not in God's word. Giving up is not part of God. Being a child of God is a commitment to serve God. Being a child of God is a commitment to live like God. It's something that the church takes lightly today. It's something that Christians take lightly today. But when you look at God's word, you see over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament what happened when people did not live up to their commitment. You saw judgment, but in the end, you also saw grace. So this morning, I want to talk about commitment. And I'm using Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. That's where we're going to be this morning. So if you'd like to turn into your Bibles, if you could put up Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 16 is where I'm going to read. If you could, if you're able to please stand in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask you to do so. Listen, you priest, this command is for you. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven's armies, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. I will punish your descendants and splatter your faces with the manure from your festival sacrifices, and I will throw you on the manure pile. Then at last you will know it was I who sent you this warning, so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace, and that is what I gave them. This required reverence from them, and they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. They passed on to the people the truth of the instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turned many from lives of sin. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction. For the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies. But you priests have left God's path. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So I have made you despised and humiliated in the eyes of all the people. For you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way you carried out my instructions. Are we not all children of the same Father? Are we not all created by the same God? Then why do we betray each other, violating the covenant of our ancestors? Judah has been unfaithful, and a detestable thing has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. The men of Judah have defiled the Lord's beloved sanctuary by marrying women who worship idols. May the Lord cut off from the nation of Israel every last man who has done this, and yet brings an offering to the Lord of heaven's armies. Here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altars with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. But you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Didn't the Lord make you one with your life, with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. You may be seated. Let us pray. Our Father, we just again thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for what you've shown us here in Malachi chapter 2. Father, I just pray that as you speak this morning, I pray that we would open up our hearts. I pray that we would just open up our minds to what it is truly that you're trying to speak to us. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask for these things in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So this morning, as we get started, I'm just going to ask you to ask yourself this question. Do you honor the commitments that you make? Do you honor the commitments to your team at work? Do you actually show up to those commitments? If you have commitments at church, do you honor those commitments? Do you actually show up when you're supposed to show up to do what it is that God has called you to do? In regards to your commitments, are you a committed person even in the most uncomfortable of situations? Do you honor the commitments that you make to your family? Do you honor the commitments that you make to your friends? Do you keep the promises that you make to your family? Do you keep the promises that you make to your friends? Do you honor the commitments that you actually make to yourself? But the most important question that I want you to ask yourself this morning is, do you honor the commitments that you made to God? Those are the most important commitments. The most important commitments that you will ever make in life are those commitments that you tell God that you will do something. If you're accepting a calling that God has put on your life, you're saying, God, I'm willing to go down that road, however rough it gets, however uncomfortable it gets. I'm willing to go down that road until the day I die because you've called me to go down that road. And I hadn't done this in a while, and Satan's trying to get through me to my voice. The people of Judah, as we read about here, here in Malachi chapter 2, including the priests who were actually supposed to be leaders and actually lead the Jews, they had failed to keep their covenant agreement with God. After so many times, over and over and over in the Old Testament, you saw the children of Israel being disobedient to God, dishonoring the commitment, dishonoring the covenant that God had made with them. And here in the book of Malachi, you see the priest doing the same thing. That you see the people that were supposed to be the actual leaders within the tabernacle, the actual leaders within the temple. You saw them being disobedient to the covenant that had been placed upon them with God. So in turn, you saw them disrespect and you saw them dishonor God. The people of Judah turned away from God's law and they actually disobeyed his commandments. Here in Malachi, the verses that we just read in chapter 2, you saw Malachi sternly rebuked the people of Judah. And God gave several reasons why the Jewish people were to be obedient to God and why they were supposed to honor their commitments. Should this not be an example for us? As we are called to do the same things, we are called to be the leaders of the church, right? Just because God has called me to be a preacher, I'm no different than any of you. God has called us all to be leaders. God has called us all to go out and to be messengers. I have no different responsibility than each of you do. My responsibility is to go out and to proclaim the message of God, to go out and to proclaim the good news. But also part of that commitment for me is living as God has called me to live. That's somewhere that the church, that's somewhere that Christians are failing today. we are failing to live the way that God has called us to live. We're willing to give in to the distractions that Satan throws our way. We're willing to turn away from God when God wants us to draw near. We're willing to do exactly what you see the Levite priest here doing, which was turning away from God and wanting to pursue what we call selfishness. They're wanting to pursue their desires, wanting to pursue their wants. This morning, I'm going to ask you, are you serving God or are you serving yourself? Are you pursuing what it is that God desires to do in your life this morning? Are you pursuing what it is that you want in life? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're pursuing what it is that you want in life, your life will lead to failure. You may have some times up there on the mountaintop, but I'm here to tell you, if you're pursuing what it is that you want and you're refusing to answer the calling that God has put on your heart, you're going to end up in the lowliest of valleys. You're going to end up in a place that you can't get out of. The only way that you can get out of the valley of disappointment in your life is actually succumb and actually do what it is that God is calling you to do in your life. You see, when you serve God, it's not always fun. I'm here to say this morning, it's not been a rosy ride the last year and a half of my life. I faced some things in my life over the last year and a half that I've never been through. I faced so many things that I never imagined I would face. You know what got me through the things that I faced the last year and a half of my life? God. There is no answer other than God. God has taken those situations that I thought were too big for me, and He's conquered those things. You look at where we were at as a church a year ago, and you look at where we're at today. So many people out in the community thought a particular situation could tear apart a church. And Satan used that to tear apart many aspects. But I'm here to tell you that Satan actually got destroyed, because what Satan wanted to use to tear apart the church and what he wanted to use to tear apart lives, God took that and he used it for the upbuilding of his kingdom, and God has used that to restore people, and God has used that to restore a church. And you see that happening today. But you see what happens when people answer a calling that God has put on their life and they're willing to be obedient. I'm not into my points yet. I'll be into my points in just a minute. But I want us all to see the common denominator in overcoming the obstacles of your life. The common denominator in reaching the commitment that God is putting on your life is God Himself. When you take your mind off God, just as the Levite priest and just as the Jews were taking their mind off God, destruction will follow. You saw it over and over and over in the Old Testament. There's no need for me to rehash everything that you see in the Old Testament, because you see it over and over and over again. And you see that actually taking place in our society today. You actually see it taking place in the church today. It's because people want to pursue what it is that they want to do. People don't want to be uncomfortable, and serving God is uncomfortable. Because when you're serving God, you're not relying on yourself, you're relying on God. So, a few more things I want to say about commitments before we get into the points. Commitment is a big deal. Commitment, it not only speaks of of your relationship with God. But honoring your commitments, it also speaks of your character as a person. It also attracts people to you. Honoring your commitment, it gives you opportunities and it allows you to pursue new relationships. Being committed is important, not just in serving God, but in all aspects of our lives. When we say that we are going to do something and you're saying, I am committed to doing this, Sam, that means you're committed to doing it. That doesn't mean when things get tight and when things get tough and when things get uncomfortable that you throw up your hands and say, I'm done. You can't throw up your hands and say, I quit, because children of God don't quit. Children of God keep going because you have the God Almighty leading the way. Are you letting God lead the way in your life this morning? Are you fully committed to God? Failing to honor our commitments will actually tarnish our image. Failing to satisfy and honor the commitments of our life, it will tarnish our character and have a negative impact on our reputation. It creates barriers in your life. Honoring commitments creates trust in our relationship. So now, I'll kind of go into what God has laid on my heart. Why should we be obedient? Why should we honor our commitments to God? Point number one, responsibility. Responsibility. We should respond in obedience to God. That is responsibility. You can see that in Malachi chapter 2. Verse 2, if you can put up Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven's armies, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. You see the first part of that verse, it says, listen to me. Listen to me. Now, I want to go beyond the listen part of responsibility. And to do that, I want to go into James chapter 1, verse 22, because we as children of God, we're not supposed to just listen to God's word. We're actually supposed to do what God's word says to do. And as you can see in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So we don't just listen. It's not only a matter of listening to God's word. We actually must put God's word into action by taking these principles and by applying them to our lives. Isn't that correct, Andre? So this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you listening to God? Is God calling you to a level of commitment? Is God calling you into service? I can say, with 100% certainty through God's word this morning, that God did not call any of us just to sit on a church seat on Sunday morning. God has called every single one of us into service. He has called us all to do something for His kingdom, whether it be a teacher, whether it be an usher, whether it be a preacher. Every Christian, every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has a responsibility, has a level of commitment to serving God. We have to stop being afraid of pursuing what it is that God is calling in our hearts. You know, for the longest time as a church, we've had a lack of teachers. I know with certainty that there's people at Grace Community Church that God has called to teach. Are you willing to step out? God desires for you to step out. God will give you the tools. He will give you what it is that you need to do, what it is that He wants you to do. So are you listening to God? Are you being obedient to His instructions? Are you being obedient to His plan for your life? Or this morning, are you running away from God? Are you saying, no, God? If you're telling God no, you're running away from Him. Because when you tell God no, you're saying no to commitment. When you say no to God, you're saying, no, God, I don't need you. As children of God, we need God, don't we? I know I need God. I know every morning I wake up out of my bed, I need God. Because Satan consistently tries to throw things at me to get me away from my walk. And thank God that He's put people in my life. He's put spiritual advisors in my life. That when I get off course, God gets me back. How many of you don't have spiritual advisors in your life? You need spiritual advisors in your life. For we all veer off track. But that's not God's desire. God does not desire for you to run away. And the thing is when you start running away from Him, He keeps chasing you. He doesn't give up on you. He loves you that much. So if you are running away today, if you're not being obedient today, you're not being responsible. You're not being obedient to God. But if you are running away, it doesn't take much to get back on track with God. So are you listening to God today? Are you responding to God today? How can we respond? By being obedient in our commitments to God. I want to go over four commitments that we should make to God on a daily basis. Four commitments that we should make to God on a daily basis. Number one, we should revere or honor God. To revere God means to feel deep respect, to feel admiration, to honor. That should be a no-brainer. We should want to honor God. I don't take it lightly every day. One of the things that I try to do at night when I sit down with my children is we're having bedtime prayers. One of the things that I do, and my wife, as well as my two children, is we sit there and honor God by thanking Him for what He has done that day. That is a way to honor God. Every day of our lives, we should take the time to honor God, for He is a good God. He does deserve our praise. He does deserve our thanksgiving, does He not? So are you honoring God every day? Are you revering God? In Malachi chapter 2, verse 5, the purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace. And that is what I gave them. This required reverence from them. And they stood, greatly revered me, and stood in awe of my name. We should all stand in awe of God's name. He is a God Almighty. He is an amazing God. He is an awesome God. And as I said, He is worthy of our praise. In Malachi chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we saw where God was addressing the priests who were from the Levite tribe, He was abomining them for corrupting the laws and for not following his example. We should live on a daily basis with an enormous respect for God. When you look at what he's done for you this week, can you not think of anything to stand in awe? Can you not think of anything to revere him for? I can think of many things in my life where I can stand up here today and say, thank you, God. Every day in my life, multiple times a day, God has blessed me. I'm blessed to be standing here today. I'm blessed to have breath coming out of my lungs, a heart that is pumping blood throughout my body to my brain. That's a blessing from God in and of itself. But instead of living with an enormous respect for God and his holiness on a daily basis, many of us choose instead to play games with God. Many of us instead choose to disrespect him. When we revere God, it's an attitude of obedience to God. When we honor God, we're being obedient to him. We're showing him responsibility. Number two, how can we respond by being obedient in our commitments to God? Receiving truth from his word on a daily basis. Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. They passed on to the people the truth of the instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turned many from lives of sin. We should accept God's instruction and we should follow his word of truth by being obedient. But how can you receive God's word on a daily basis if you're not in it? The only way to receive God's truth every day is to be in God's word. It's to be involved and have people around you that you can discuss scripture. One of the ways that I receive truth every day through his word in my life is by Bible studies. You know, here at Grace, we have Bible studies 3 days a week that I can think of. And when you look at Sunday, that's 4 days a week. So there's numerous opportunities to dive into God's word. There's numerous opportunities to receive his truth. He wants to speak it to you. But you have to make yourself available for that to happen. In order to understand God's instructions for our lives, we must have that daily intake of God's word. I don't know about you, but I know when I've stopped turning the news on in the morning. Because if you turn the news on in the morning, all you're going to see is all the chaos that's happening in the world. When you turn the news on, all you're going to see is all of this happening over in the Middle East. And while I believe it's important to be aware of those things, because when you look at some of those things happening in the Middle East, as Josh preached on a few weeks ago, I definitely believe some prophecy is being fulfilled. But what the point that I'm getting at is I'm not going to look to the news. I'm not going to look to the newspaper to get my intake of God's word because it's not going to be there. If I want to look for intake of God's word, the only place that I can find that is in God's word. When we read God's word, it should actually speak to our lives, and it will speak to your life if you pray for God to reveal something to you through his word. I know every morning when I pick up God's word, one of my prayers before I read it is, God, show me something through the scripture that you're putting before my eyes. And by the end of the day, I can tie that scripture into what happened to me that day. Those things aren't coincidence. Those things aren't an accident. God put those things in your eyes before your eyes for a reason. God put his word being available to us for a reason. He didn't put this word being available for it to be in your closet. He wants you to be using it. He wants you to be reading it. Because this is a living word. Meaning the situations that we are facing in our lives, you can find the answers because these situations do speak to your life. But if we refuse to receive the truth through God's word, we will never be obedient in our commitment to God, nor will we ever be obedient in our commitment to others. So, number two was receive truth from His word. Number three, righteous living. How can we respond by being obedient in our commitments to God? Righteous living. We should be living our lives set apart for God. We should not be living the lives that the world desires for us to live. I swear anymore, all that the world teaches is alcohol, drugs, sex. If you turn on your TV, that's the only message that you see. That's the only message. I'm ashamed that my children can't watch TV anymore. We don't allow much of the worldly TV into our home because that's all that's on TV. What's uplifting about those things? There is nothing uplifting about what comes on your television. I would rather be sitting down with my family, reading God's Word, taking God's Word, and finding ways in our lives to apply those things. Because when you take God's Word and you read it and apply it to your life, you can't help but live a righteous life. We all sin. We all come short of God's glory. But why intentionally walk away? From the book of life that teaches you how to live a righteous life. So we should be striving to live a righteous life. We should be trying to walk away from sin instead of walking into sin. We should walk in a way that pleases God and actually brings glory to honor His name. And number four, how can we respond by being obedient in our commitments to God? Number four, represent God to others by being His messenger. Represent God to others by being His messenger. And you can see that in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies. The Levitical priests represented God, and they actually revealed His will to the people. Today, that's who we are. We are God's messengers to a lost world. And we bear the exact same responsibility that the Levitical priest had. To go out and to proclaim God. We have the same. Are you partaking in that responsibility? Point number two, a warning to recognize the downside when we fail to be obedient in our commitments to God. By failing to honor our commitments, not only does this damage our personal testimony, but it also damages our success in life and it has a significant strain on our relationship with God. Malachi reminds his hearers in Malachi 2 that if they fail to keep their commitments to God, God will curse them. You can see here in the scriptures that we just read in Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. He says that they will be cursed. So we have to honor our commitments, because when we don't, it strains our relationship with God. It strains our relationships with others. And it hurts our character. Point number three, remember the benefits of being obedient in our commitment to God. That can be seen in Malachi chapter 2, verse 5. In verse 5 of Malachi chapter 2, he provided several spiritual benefits to honoring our commitments with God. Number one was life. And number two was peace. You all know what it's like to have the peace of God. And I'm talking about life with God. I'm not talking about life with the world. When you're obedient in your relationship, when you're obedient in your commitment to God, you have a life filled with peace. When a person honors their commitments, they reach out into an unpredictable future and make one thing predictable, that they will be there, they will follow through, and that they will be a man or woman of their word. That's something that many Christians lack today. It's being men and being women of their word. We live in a world where we want to tickle people's ears. We want to tell people what they want to hear, instead of allowing God to use us, instead of allowing God to speak through us. If you have a brother or a sister in Christ that you know is struggling, if you have a brother or sister in Christ that you see that is sinning, you should approach them in a loving and respectful way and point the sin out that they may be partaking of. You shouldn't walk up to someone that you love deeply in your life and you see them sinning, and you shouldn't walk up to them and say that they're living a perfect life. You should be the brother or sister that makes a difference in their life. God may be using you for that particular reason. That's part of being obedient to God. Point number four is failure by being unfaithful. Failure by being unfaithful. The priests failed in their responsibility to teach the people God's law. As a result of the priests failing in their responsibility to teach the people God's law, the people failed to revere God. The people failed to honor God. They failed to receive His word, and they failed to live distinctly from their non-God-believing neighbors. You see, one group of people, the Levitical priest, that God had called to live differently, that God had called to be the leaders, to explain the law, and to tell what was coming. They failed. And as a result, you see the people under them falling. You see that transpiring. You see that happening in the church today. You see leaders that are failing. And as a result, you see people starting to seek the way the world lives instead of seeking the way that God lives. The Jews had broken their agreement to God by failing to live by His laws and by failing to live by His commandments and by failing to fulfill their commitment. And God, do you feel as though God should have fulfilled His side of the obligation? Didn't He have the right to cancel His side of the obligation of the contract? But He didn't. He still offered grace. And He offers that same grace to you and I today. No matter what we may do in our lives, no matter how bad that we may screw up in our lives, no matter the mistakes that we make in our lives, He loves us enough to love us back to Him. And the great thing about it is the mistakes that we make in our lives, the mistakes that some people think that will haunt us for the rest of our lives, God uses those mistakes to help us, to help others that are going through those things. God can help the drug addict that has overcome the addiction to drugs to help the next drug addict that needs help in overcoming addiction. So are you being unfaithful today? If you're being unfaithful, you're not being obedient in your commitment to God. One of the ways that we can become obedient, the fifth way that we can become obedient to God, is actually by taking action. Taking action. And you say, well, how can I take action? In order to be obedient to God this morning, if you're not fulfilling the commitment that you've made with God, the way that you can take action is today you can say, God, I'm sorry for the mistakes that I made in my life. I don't want my mistakes to define my future. And I'm not going to allow the mistakes of my past to define where I am going forward. And you can take action to let God forgive you of those things and give you grace so you can move forward. God desires us all to be moving forward. God desires us all to be taking action. I know it's been said so many times in the last couple of months, even by Brother Josh. It seems as though we've just been stuck in this rut. Where we want to look back at the past instead of going forward to where God wants to take us in the future. Today, let's take action to get away from the past and to use the past so we don't make the same mistakes as we go forward. The only way that the future, the only way that the church, and I'm not speaking of Grace Community Church, I'm speaking of the worldwide church. The only way that the church is going to make a difference today is if we get outside of the doors of this church and we go out there and we be the church. But in order for that to happen, it requires God to be able to use us. And we have to be willing to let God use us today. Are you willing to let God use you in the way that He desires to use you? I know God doesn't desire to use me behind a desk. Picking up and dealing with the same problems that we've been going through the last year and a half. God desires for me to get out and He desires for me to be ministering because that's what God has called me to do. God desires for us to go out and get active into the community. He does not desire for us to stay inside the doors of this church. He does not desire for me to stay in that modular building. God wants me to get out there. He wants others to get out there into the community. But that requires a commitment from all of us. It requires a commitment that we actually get up off our feet and that we start pursuing God in every aspect of our lives. Sam, would you mind to come up and lead us in a song of invitation this morning? I'm going to ask her to lead us in a song of invitation And as she leads us in this song of invitation, I'm just going to ask you, are you failing in your commitment to God this morning? Are you failing in your commitment to where God wants you to be in your relationship with Him? God doesn't desire for you to quit. God doesn't desire for you to turn your back on Him. God desires for you to throw up the white flag of surrender and surrender yourself and start pursuing what it is that He desires to do in your life. God wants to use each and every one of us. Are you willing to let Him use you this morning? Are you willing to let Him use you?